right, come on, 8:30. Would you help me welcome those who are watching online and those who are joining us for the very first time? We're so glad you're attending church with us this morning. If it's your very first time, live or online, my name is Michael. I'm the lead pastor here, and on behalf of all of our staff and our leadership, we're thrilled that you would take time and worship the Lord with us this morning. We're so glad that you're with us, no matter how you're with us. I also want to take just a second this morning and give a quick shout out to somebody I love a lot. Didn't worship sound good this morning? Didn't the band sound awesome this morning? They sounded really good and tight. And one of the guys on our team who puts in probably more hours than anybody, his name is Kevin. He's usually right up there on that platform playing guitar, and he wasn't feeling so great this week. And so what he did is he recorded himself at home and put it all, loaded it all in a computer. So he actually still played this morning. He just wasn't here. And come on, would y'all just help me tell Kevin, hey, I hope you feel better, dude. Love you. And you sounded really good. All right. A couple things I want to share with you before we get into the message this morning. And you saw this one in church news already. Baptism weekend is February 7th. We'll do that in all three services. It is going to be a little bit unique because of COVID. So if you have a family member who's been following Jesus a little bit longer than you have, we would recommend they be the one to baptize you. We'll have the tank right down here. The water will be treated. The virus will die. Your skin might not be okay, but you won't get COVID. All right. So that was a joke. I was just kidding. Thank you, Whitney. Thank you for laughing. All right. And so we think we got a way we can do this safely and carefully. If you do need a staff member to baptize you, we will. We're just going to keep our mask on and not get in the tank with you, all right? So we'll stay outside the tank and lean you down into the water so that you can be water baptized. This is a huge step in your walk of following Jesus. We follow his example, and it really just signifies that the old me is, when I go into the water, I identify with Jesus' death on the cross, and the old me is gone, and the new me has come to life, just like Jesus came back up out of the grave. And I don't care who knows it. It's a public proclamation of the inward work that Jesus has done in our hearts. And so if you've never had an opportunity to participate in that, make sure you head over to our website and register for baptism weekend. And we'll have shorts and t-shirts and towels and all the stuff that you need, and blow dryers in the ladies' restroom and all the stuff that you need to be able to participate in baptism that weekend. And then you saw we have the EXO Marriage Conference February 12th and 13th. This is one of my favorite events of the year. Like everything else we're doing right now, we'll be a little bit different. We'll have fewer couples at every table and make sure that we're all distanced, and we'll do food a little bit differently. Things will have to be prepackaged and all that distributed differently, but we're still going to come together and work on our marriages and make sure that our relationships between husband and wife are a reflection of the relationship between Jesus and his church. Come on, that's what he asked us to do with our homes and our marriage relationships, and I don't know about you, but I can always get better. Come on. Come on, everybody look at your spouse and tell them, you can always get better. All right, so we can always get better. We can keep working on it, and so we'd love to have you join us at that. Okay, so here's the last one. How many of you were able to participate in our first Wednesday service a couple weeks ago? It was fantastic. Man, the power of God showed up, and our plan was to hold a first Wednesday four times in 2021. We were going to do this quarterly. Just have a night where we can come together, go a little deeper in our teaching of the Bible, have some extended prayer time and some extended worship time, and it really was a powerful night. And the live stream, or the recording is, I think, in our archive online. I'm not 100% sure on that, but the guys will correct me later if I'm wrong. But if it's there, you should go watch it. It was a very powerful night, and we talked about how to carry the presence of God in your life. And immediately after the service, I got home. We were kind of getting ready for bed at our house, and my wife said to me, "Hey, like, we can't make our church wait 3 months for that again. It's not right. Like, people, more than ever, people need Jesus." And I had already been thinking it, like, immediately after the service, I had already been thinking that, and so it was just confirmation. And so we started talking to our team, we started talking to our worship leaders, and we said, "Hey, are you guys satisfied with the spiritual temperature in our church?" And across the board, everybody said no, and we all agree we need to be intentional about creating space for people to have these kinds of moments in the presence of God. And Wednesday night gives us an opportunity to do that, where we're not locked into the three-service schedule of a Sunday morning where we got to nail it and get in and out and all these kinds of things. And so I am really excited to share with you this morning that First Wednesday will not be quarterly. It's going to happen every month, everybody. And that means the next one is February 3rd at 7 p.m. So put it on your calendar right now. We're not going to have four of them. We're going to have 12 of them. Come on. Yeah, all right. And so we're gonna come together. We're going to get into God's presence. And we'll have childcare and everything at those. Don't expect it to be as polished and refined as a Sunday morning, but that's kind of the point. And so I look forward to being with you all again on February 3rd, and it's going to be a very, very powerful, powerful, powerful night. All right, so if you are new to True Life, if you're watching online and you haven't been attending here for, I don't know, maybe 6 months or more, you haven't had the opportunity yet to experience what all of us are going to experience right now, which is a little thing I like to do called collecting terrible signs. Because I like to laugh in church. I think it's fun. I think it's funny. And I came across some new ones, and people send these to me because people know I like them, and so I collect these now. And I hope that you all laugh at these as hard as I did. I realize it's the 8:30, and your sense of humor may not have woken up yet, but you're just try, all right? Just try to turn your sense of humor on. I thought these were hilarious. Like you know, sometimes things just don't make sense. Like this one, these are actually two signs, two for the price of one right here. This one says, no trucks beyond this point. Also, this is a truck route. Come on, how many think clarity is important? Like which, I would have so much anxiety right here. And then I like this one. It says, keep to the right. Y'all see the problem there, right? Okay. Just go on, keep to the right. don't save a life. Be afraid to give blood. Don't. So jacked up. If you're a sign maker, word placement is very important. Y'all know what I'm saying? I know what they were trying to say. That ain't what it says. I think I know which one is. Let me just peek so I can set this up correctly. Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of these where people have decided to apparently get creative with how to run a gas station. And I didn't even know that you could do this safely, but apparently there's such a thing as diesel fried chicken at your local Pilot truck stop. I don't know what that's going to taste like. That seems a little weird to me. Hopefully it's, maybe it's lower cholesterol or something. I don't know. Get you some diesel fried chicken. And you got to be careful too, like when you're making a sign, you got to think about the words you're combining. So, eat here, get gas, and worms. All right, come on, feels good to laugh sometimes, doesn't it? Isn't it good to, it's good to laugh in church. It's good to laugh in life, period. The longer I live, the more I realize how important it is to not take everything too seriously. Like, you got to have a little bit of a humor in your life. You've got to learn how to smile and laugh at things like this, where a grocery store clearly didn't think about the items that they were putting on the same aisle together, because baby needs some beers and wines, you know what I'm saying? Go get baby some beers and wines. Come on, doesn't it feel good to laugh? Doesn't it feel good to have a little bit of joy in your heart? In fact, the Bible actually talks about this. It's why we do funny stuff in church from time to time. Because a joyful heart is good. Everybody say it. Medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And I want to take some time today and talk with you as we talk about getting a fresh start in 2021. About how to make sure you don't miss out on having a joyful heart. And we did a whole series not long ago called Choose Joy, but God showed me some stuff over the last week and a half, that I knew I just had to come share with you this morning. When I originally planned out the series, this is not the message I thought I would share on week 3 of the series. In fact, a lot of what I'm sharing with you tonight is inspired by a conversation I had with a friend recently. And hanging out with a friend, we were just kind of talking about life, and I was illustrating some things through parenting and how you guys who are parents, you know this. Parenting always has some unexpected twists and turns, right? And how you kind of just learn to not get hung up on the wrong things, because if you do, you'll miss out on the joy of your family and parenting and your relationships. And I was talking about how to just find the joy in things and how to find gratitude in things. And my friend said to me, I'm paraphrasing here, but my friend basically said to me, like, how do you do that? How do you not let everything that is going on drive you crazy? How do you do that? And I responded, this was his question, how do you deal with it all and keep your joy? Some of us are dealing with it all, but we're not keeping our joy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody got any grouchy people in your lives? Come on, we borrow a phrase from Lego Movie 2 in our house when somebody's grouchy. We're like, hey, are you being a grumple-dumpus right now? Like, come on. Just come get your joy back, get your attitude back. So this was the question. How do you deal with everything going on in the world and keep your joy? And my response to him was, it's a choice. It's a choice. In fact, I think it's more than a choice. It's a series of choices. And you know what happens when you make a series of choices is it becomes a discipline. It's more than just a choice, it's a discipline. And so I've titled the message this morning, The Discipline of Joy. The Discipline of Joy. And I want to help you figure out how to stay there. Like, no matter what's going on in your world, no matter what's going on in your life, to not lose the discipline of joy. And Jesus gives us part of the answer on how to do this in our theme passage for this series, where he's talking to his disciples and he's telling them basically that he's going to give his life. I think it probably would have been hard for them to understand what was happening at the time, but he says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce. It's going to produce something, many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And that's kind of the idea behind this series. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to go give up my life, but even though it's going to look like really bad, I'm not actually dead. There's something new that's going to be produced from the work that I go do on the cross. How many are thankful for what has been produced by the cross of Jesus? You know, I'm thankful for that. He says it's going to produce something new. And so two weeks ago, I shared with you this idea. What if some things in our life that look dead aren't actually dead? Maybe they're just seeds that God wants to develop something new from. Pastor Perry gave us a great word last weekend on how to get a fresh start in our lives. And Jesus goes on, watch, here's the secret to not losing your joy. He says, don't love this life too much. Don't fall in love with this life too much. Don't get focused on this world and your circumstances. Don't get focused on too much on whether or not you're in the relationship status you thought you'd be in this season of life, or your income levels, what you thought it would be in this season of life, or what your family looks like in this season of life. Those things all matter, and they matter to God. But don't fall in love with the idea of perfect circumstances here, because you're never going to have them. Can I hear an amen? So Jesus is like, don't get too in love with this world, because if you do, you're going to lose it anyway. You're not going to keep it, and you're going to be heartbroken all the time. One of the reasons that many of us live significant portions of our life heartbroken is because we're too in love with this life. And every time this life takes something from us, we get more bitter, we get more angry, we get more jaded. You might even begin to turn that anger towards God. God, why did you do that? Or God, why did you let that happen? And I think our Heavenly Father's saying, hold on, like, you live in a fallen world. It's full of sin and it's broken. Bad stuff's going to happen. Just don't fall in love with it too much. Instead, those who care nothing for this life in this world, they're going to keep it for, come on, they're going to keep it for eternity. In other words, fall in love with what comes after this. It's better. Don't allow the condition of your heart to swing back and forth based on what's happening to you or around you. And I want to just try to expose the plans of the enemy a little bit this morning. I'm going to talk about how to develop this seed of joy in your heart. But before I do, I want to expose some seeds that I think the enemy would like to plant in your... He'd like to plant some seeds in your life too. He'd like to rob you of your joy too. Your Heavenly Father wants you to have joy. The enemy of your soul would like to rob you of your joy. In fact, I think a lot of what's going on in our society right now, in America, stems from people who love this life too much. We love this world too much. And people don't have a greater purpose to attach their hearts to. They're not thinking about eternity. And so guess what? If all you have is your political ideology, you're in trouble. Can I hear an amen? And if I could just make a statement that might offend some of you and it might shrink our church, and that's all right. It bothers me a little bit that followers of Jesus are best known for all of our conspiracy theories right now. Like, if I could get followers of Jesus to share the gospel as passionately as they're sharing their ideologies right now, we would turn the world upside down. Where you at? Where you at, church? Can I just pastor you a little bit this morning? Can I do that? Like, where's your passion for the people who might spend eternity separated for Jesus? And everybody's in a group now, right? Like, everybody's in a group. Everybody's, and we got all got conspiracy theories about the other group. And, you know, now we got labels for the groups. We got acronyms for the group, you know. So, like, to the one extreme, you got the MAGAs, you know. We got the MAGA group way over here. And then people are like, they're crazy and they're wacko. And then at the far other extreme, we got the Antifas, you know what I'm saying? So these are all acronyms. So apparently, if you start a group, you have to have an acronym. So I was thinking, I'm going to start my own group. Y'all want to join my group? I'm going to call my group Love Ye. Love over violence, especially your enemy. Come on, everybody. Y'all want to join my group? Come on. Y'all want to join Love Ye this morning? It's a new group I'm starting. Come on. Join my group. Here's the deal. I think the enemy of our soul would love to get us distracted with each other's conspiracies so that he can perpetuate his, which Jesus actually told us exists. Like, the enemy of your soul has a conspiracy to ruin you and to ruin the world around you. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. So while we're all pointing fingers at each other, he's doing his thing. I'm preaching good this morning, 8:30. Come on. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. I'd rather have that, wouldn't you? So I want to share this idea with you this morning. Beware, because the enemy of your soul would like to plant some seeds. Would like to plant some seeds in your life. Here's the first one. Beware the seed of sorrow. Beware the seed of sorrow. There's a really cool passage in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 that I'm going to show you in a second. Let me just say this first. Sorrow, sadness, these are natural human emotions. So what I'm not doing this morning is telling you it's bad to feel sorrow. Sorrow's normal. Seasons of lament are normal. I've had a couple of those over the past 12 months where I look at things that are going on. I look at what coronavirus did even to the way we do ministry in church. And I had a season where I had to process through it. And can I just tell you that is normal and it's okay and you're not broken and you don't have a lack of faith when you go, I don't like this. I don't like this, and I need to process through this. I need to figure this out. It's a normal human emotion. But what the enemy of your soul would like to do is he'd like to plant a seed of sorrow in your life that overwhelms you. He'd like to keep you there permanently. And there's a fascinating passage in Psalms chapter 30 where the psalmist David, it's a psalm for the dedication of the temple, and he remembers back on things that have happened in the past and the things that God has done. And he says, hey, for God's anger lasts only for a moment. And most scholars believe he's referring back to a time that the Israelites had to go through a one-day plague. There's a plague that lasted for a day. It was discipline, which I just want to say, I'm glad that we live under the new covenant of Jesus, where God's wrath was executed once and for all on our Savior. How many thankful we don't have to worry about going through a plague every time we mess something up? Amen? Now, you might have to live with some consequences of bad decisions, but don't confuse that with God executing punishment on you every time you make a mistake. Y'all understand the difference? It's not the same thing. He says, so his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime, which is, I actually believe this is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. His anger lasted one moment on the cross, and now his favor lasts for all of eternity on those who will put their hope and faith in Jesus Christ. You'll find Jesus everywhere in your Bible. His favor lasts a lifetime. Watch this. Weeping may last. Everybody say last. It may last through the night, but joy, come on, y'all, comes with the morning. Now, if you've been going to church long enough, you've probably seen this passage of Scripture before. If you've been a follower of Jesus for very long, you've probably seen this. You've probably seen this on, like, little plaques in the Hallmark store. Like, this is a fairly well-known Scripture from the Bible. But let me show you something you may not have known. It says that weeping may last. That word last in the Hebrew is very interesting. It literally means to lodge as a guest. In other words, like, weeping may be like a stop at a hotel on the way to your destination. It's a one-night stay. David literally wrote, weeping, we're going to lodge at weeping like a guest. But we're not going to live here. We're going to move on because joy comes with the morning. And as I was preparing this message for you, in fact, I asked everybody who was at Wednesday night prayer to pray for the people who'd be listening to the message today, because I feel like the Holy Spirit whispered to me there are people who've become permanent residents in a stop that was only meant to last for a night. That's right. Yeah. And it's become home. And you become trapped by the seed of sorrow. The weeds have grown up and taken root. It's become too strong. And you're not really sure how to get free from it. I'm going to help you with it. It's a lot easier than you think at the end of the message. Beware the seed of sorrow. Your enemy doesn't want you to be a guest of sorrow. He wants you to be a prisoner of sorrow. Beware the seed of sorrow. Can I hear an amen this morning? Here's the second seed that the enemy would like to plant in your life. He'd like to turn your sorrow into self-pity. I'm doing that preacher thing where they all start with the letter S. Y'all be impressed. Self-pity is actually, and I don't want to create guilt for any of you, but this is one of actually what we would call in Bible study a self-sin. It's anything where I begin to make myself a bigger deal than I should be. So self-pity, even though we're dealing with pain, it's actually a form of sin because it's a form of focusing on me instead of focusing on my Savior. And if you let sorrow hang around long enough, what the enemy would love to do is trap you there and then take you to a place of self-pity. He wants you to get focused on yourself. Well, we say things like this: I deserve better. Do you? Because my Bible, Paul said the wages of sin is death. He also said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I just say something to you this morning? You don't actually want what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. Come on, y'all. We convince ourselves that, like, certain comforts and things should actually be a right just because we live and breathe. And I'm just telling you, the Bible says every good thing that you have comes from God. Every good thing that I have in my life is only there because of the grace and mercy of God. It's only there because I'm not getting what I deserve. Can I hear an amen? And so I want to illustrate this for you this morning with a fascinating story in your Bible. There's a king in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 4. His name is Ahab. Ahab. And fascinating story. Ahab is married to a lady called Jezebel. And Ahab he's the king of Israel. He's got everything he could ever want. And one day, in the palace, he looks out from the palace at his neighbor's piece of land, and he sees a vineyard, and he decides, I'd like to have that vineyard. I want it. I want it for myself. And so Ahab goes and talks to Naboth, who owns the vineyard. And he says, hey, Naboth, how about you sell me your vineyard? I'd like to have it. And I'll give you another one somewhere else. But this vineyard was handed down through generations to Naboth. And so Naboth says, God forbid I let go of this thing that has been a blessing and it's been handed down by my ancestors. So he says, he declines. He says, no, I don't want to sell you the piece of land. So look at this in your Bible. So Ahab, the king, went home angry and sullen because of Naboth's answer. The king went to bed, look at this, with his face to the wall and refused to eat. You know what that is? That's a pity party. The king went home. I want that vineyard. He won't give it. He pouts. He refuses to eat until his wife Jezebel comes in and says, what's wrong, honey? And he says, Naboth won't give me the vineyard. Ahab doesn't start feeling better until his wife launches a plan to murder Naboth so that he can have the vineyard. Can I just tell you something this morning? Most of us have more blessing in our lives than we think we do. Most of us are doing better than we think. In fact, the Bible says if you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, that you actually have become what the Bible calls kings and priests. Sons and daughters of the Most High, sharing in His inheritance. So can I just warn you this morning? Don't get caught pouting in the palace. It's an easy trap to fall into. Don't get caught pouting in the palace. Let me say it to you this way because it's a bit more humorous. Don't be an Ahab. Don't do it. Paul says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Because then the self sins. And self-pity is a big one. Are going to get root in your life. Beware the seed of sorrow. Beware the seed of self-pity. And beware the seed of solitude. And I'm not talking about a quiet time. I'm not talking about meditating on God's word. It's good for all of us to have a little bit of alone time. It's a good, healthy habit to have. I don't want everybody watching while I have my quiet time with the Lord. Right? I'm not going to live stream that for you. It's between me and Him. I have private moments in the Lord. But some have become so disconnected, so relationally isolated. Sorrow has overwhelmed you. Self-pity has risen up. And now even though you are having some interactions, there's really no depth to them. There's really no meaningful relationship, no meaningful community. You're isolated and you're alone. Can I tell you something? All of my worst sin decisions have happened when I've isolated myself from the people who would love me enough to tell me, don't do that. Don't do it. Don't go there. In fact, you know when this has reached its highest form, when the people who love you say, hey, don't go there, don't do that, and you get offended by it. All of us need relationship. All of us need community, which is why in Hebrews the Bible tells us, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our small groups at True Life, because we all need to be in one, and a whole bunch of us need to get into small group training and lead one, because some people don't, but you're going to. Can I hear an amen this morning? Come on, Pastor Joel. Can I hear an amen this morning? But encourage one another, especially now, that the day of His return is drawing near. Paul says it this way in Galatians, share each other's burdens. Like you're not meant to carry the garbage in your life by yourself. And in this way, Like when you're in community, when you have meaningful relationships with each other, this is actually a form of obedience. You're actually obeying God when we don't live in complete solitude. Don't go there. Don't go there. Obey the law of Christ. Beware the seed of sorrow. Beware the seed of self-pity. Beware the seed of isolation, of solitude, because they're joy killers. They're joy killers. So what do we do if we're in one of those three places, or maybe all three is going on in our life? What do we do about that? The Bible says the hope of the righteous brings, everybody say it, joy. But the expectation of the wicked will perish. In other words, you want to know what determines whether or not you're experiencing joy in your life? It's your outlook. It's your attitude. So like, you can have hope. You can choose to continue to hope in the good things that God has, in the promises of His Word. You can get your eyes off of this life and put your hope in eternity, put your hope in Jesus, and that's always going to bring some joy back into our lives. Or you can fall in love with this world a little bit too much, in which case your expectations are going to be pretty pessimistic. You want to bring a little bit of joy back? Start making some optimistic choices with your language and with your attitude. Come on, y'all. Just give me a little, just tell me that you're hearing it this morning. Is this making sense? All right? Joy comes from our attitude, and a positive attitude comes from being thankful. In fact, I was doing a bunch of study on this, and I love it. I love it when science proves the Word of God right. And there is a bunch of stuff on this now. Clinical psychology, clinical studies of the human mind and emotions and our thinking patterns. And guess what they're finding with increasing regularity? If you want to have joy, if you want to be happy, be thankful. Like Stephen Furtick says, I can't preach this way because I don't do rhymes that well, but Stephen Furtick says, you need an attitude of gratitude. Get an attitude of gratitude. Just make a decision that I'm going to be thankful. And clinical research is actually proving it, that there are benefits for the people who practice the discipline of joy. Would you like to know what some of the benefits are? Like that even research is proving right now today. Watch this. Look, it says you're going to do better physically. You're going to feel better. You're going to get sick less often. People who practice the discipline of joy do better financially. They have more friends. They have more friends. They're more productive in their life and their jobs. They have better problem-solving skills. They have deeper relationships. And they have higher levels of creativity. Like your attitude, your outlook on the world around you determines all this stuff. And those of us who can develop a discipline of joy, an attitude of gratitude, come on, would any of you like to be better in any one of those areas? I would. I got multiples on that list that I would like to get better. And that's why Paul says, always be, everybody say it. Come on, always be joyful. It's a choice. It's a discipline. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So here's how you build the discipline of joy, the discipline of gratitude in your life. You ready? And this is actually really simple. It's not deep. But if you'll do these three things, I was telling you, you can have a fresh start, a fresh attitude, a fresh outlook for 2021. Develop the discipline of joy in your life. Here's the first one. Find something, anything, just one thing to be thankful for. Just find something, anything. Like maybe even dig through your memories and find a thing that you were thankful for once, and you realize I haven't been thankful for that in a while. And then say it. I am thankful. I am thankful that the heat works in the church today. I remember some Sundays where that was not a guaranteed thing. Come on. I am thankful. I remember when we didn't have to wear masks in church, but I also remember when we weren't even sure if we'd get to come. So no matter how many of you are here, how many are watching online this morning, I am thankful for the opportunity to gather and worship and to be in community together and to be in God's house together. I'm thankful. Like, you found a way to get here this morning, right? Like you had your car ran. Or somebody gave you a ride. I am thankful that my car works. Come on, y'all. I am thankful that I have a bed to sleep in. I'm just start finding things in your life to be thankful for and express gratitude for what you have. Because here's the deal. There's always somebody with less. Always. And there's always somebody with more. So don't get in the comparison game. Get in the gratitude game. Get in the discipline of joy game. Just what am I thankful for? What am I? I don't know. I wish I didn't have to wear a mask to church, but at least I got one. At least I found one that fit. Come on, y'all. At least my breath's not too bad inside here today. I've had worse days. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Like, just something, anything to be thankful for. That's where you start. So if you're struggling today with the seeds of sorrow, self-pity, or solitude, and you want to climb out of that pit, start by finding one thing to be thankful for, and then express your gratitude today. Express it to your Heavenly Father. God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that my lungs are working, that when I breathe in, they fill up, and when I breathe out, they empty out, and that my heart is beating, and that oxygen is making it to my brain and to all the extremities of my body. I'm thankful for the gift of life. That means you still have purpose for me. That means there's still more you want me to accomplish in this life. Thank you that this body still works. I ain't always treated it so well, but thank you, God. Come on, y'all. You got to find something to be thankful for. Then the next step in developing the discipline of joy is find something to stay thankful for. Like, you got to have some backstops. You know what a backstop is? In baseball, the backstop is the big fence that makes sure that if the batter misses the ball or the catcher doesn't catch the ball or if a foul ball gets hit, that the ball doesn't travel too far the wrong direction. You need some backstops in your life for your attitude. You got to have a few things that these are rock solid. Like, if nothing else is working, I can be thankful. Like, let me give you one if you're a follower of Jesus. No matter what goes on in this world, you're going to spend eternity with your Creator. You're going to spend eternity with Jesus. That's a backstop for the discipline of joy. Like, everything else could be going wrong, but thank you, God, one day I'm going to spend eternity in your presence. Thank you, God, one day I'm going to be in paradise. Thank you, God, one day there's not going to be cancer. There's not going to be bills to pay. There's not going to be taxes. There's not going to be elections. Come on, everybody. You got to have a backstop for your discipline of joy. So I've just got to have some things. I'm going to stay thankful for these no matter what. Start by finding something to be thankful for. Then find something that you've determined in your heart. I'm going to stay thankful for this. And then you know where this really gets fun is if you can develop those two steps in the discipline of joy, then you can start practicing faith where you look into the future and you begin to ask God to do things in your life. You begin to pray and you begin to ask Him to do miracles and you begin to get vision from Him and purpose for your life. And then you've got some things that, you know, hey, I haven't seen it yet, but I've already decided I'm thankful for it. I've decided I've got some things I'm going to be. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and thank you, God, as if you've already done them. I'm going to go ahead and express gratitude as if you've already answered my prayer. Come on, y'all. It's the discipline of joy. It's the discipline of joy. And I remember, I guess it was probably middle school. I don't know. I'm going to date myself a little bit here. When I was growing up, the first way I had to play music was a cassette tape. Any of y'all remember cassette tapes? Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm old enough to remember our car, when I was real little, my mom's car had an 8-track player. And we would listen to Oak Ridge Boys on the 8-track, driving around in the car. And I remember my dad, I think it was my dad, got me my very first little boombox cassette tape player. Come on, y'all. And then you'd make mixtapes and all your favorite music. You get an album. The only problem with a cassette tape was if you wanted to listen to it again, what'd you have to do? You had to rewind it back. So I remember when CD players came out. Come on, you remember that? I remember my first portable CD player with skip protection. So you could ride around in the car and you wouldn't have to listen to it. Be like, it had skip protection on it. So awesome. You want to know one of the most beautiful things about the CD player is they had this new feature that none of us had ever seen before, where if you had a favorite song or if it was your favorite album, you had a button called repeat. Remember? Now you can do it digitally, right? Like some of you are like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not from that generation. I'm just telling you, this was a big deal when we could repeat a song without having to wait for it to rewind. If you had a favorite song, you could just play it over and over again. With a cassette tape, you rewind it and you hope you stopped it in the right point. And then you're like, oh no, we're not to the beginning of the song yet. Oh wait, now I'm in the song before it. And it was a gift to hit the stop button in the right place and play the song. But the CD player gave you repeat. You could just go right back to the beginning over and over and over again. Can I tell you what will help you develop the discipline of joy in your life? Find something to be thankful for. Find something to stay thankful for. Find some things that you're going to be thankful for, that you're believing God for. And then, repeat. Do it again. And then, repeat. Do it again. That's why Paul said, always be full of joy in the Lord. Repeat. 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 I say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. And do it again. And do it again, and do it again, and do it again. And little by little, the weeds of sorrow and the weeds of self-pity and the weeds of isolation and solitude will be choked out of your life. And it'll be healthy and beautiful. You can have a fresh start with your attitude this year. Fresh joy if you'll develop the discipline of joy. 2 weeks ago, I shared this phrase with you. When something is happening to me, God wants to do something in me. The discipline of joy says it this way. I may not like what's happening to me, but I'm thankful for what God is going to do in me. These aren't my favorite circumstances right now, but I know my God, and He always uses it. No matter what the circumstance is, He always has a plan for it. So I don't love it right now, but I'm thankful. Come on, everybody just say, I'm thankful. Come on, say, I'm thankful. Come on, you got to develop the discipline. Say, I'm thankful. Yeah, some of you got to teach yourself to use that word again. I'm grateful, God, that you're going to do something in me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across the room this morning? You guys who are watching online at home, I'd love if you'd hang with us for a moment here of prayer. Don't sign off just yet. I wonder how many are watching today or listening today and sorrow came and it was only supposed to be a temporary stop in your life, but you've become a permanent resident. I wonder how many that sorrow has turned to self-pity. many are struggling, and nobody even knows we're struggling. Because we've been trapped, we've become trapped in a place of solitude. Man, your Heavenly Father wants so much better for you, so much more for you than that. And the first step you got to take is you got to have a relationship with Jesus. And if you're listening today, watching today, if you're here in the auditorium today, and you've never made a decision to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus, man, it's time. Today is the day of salvation. This is the right moment. Why don't you go ahead and just tell Him, Jesus, I need You in my life. Today I surrender to You. Be the Lord of my life. I believe You gave Your life for me on the cross, and I'm thankful for it. And I believe 3 days later You rose from the dead, and I'm thankful for it. And from this day on, my life belongs to You. And because of this moment, one day I'll spend eternity with You. And I'm thankful for it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're already a follower of Jesus, but you've lost your joy. You've lost the discipline of joy. I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, help us to identify something to start being thankful for. Anything, God. The breath in our lungs. The people in our lives. Just anything, God. Help us to identify that first thing that we can begin to be thankful for. Help us to develop a discipline of joy in our lives. Help us to find something to stay thankful for. Stay thankful for. And God, help us to look into the future with faith, believing that You care about our every need, that we can bring our requests to You. And we can trust that You're not done. There's more that we're going to be thankful for in the future. Help us to develop the discipline of joy, God. Help us to be people who are thankful, who are full of gratitude. Give us a fresh start in 2021. Give us a fresh outlook, a fresh attitude. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And if you receive that, would you say amen this morning? Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You are in the auditorium. Why don't you stand to your feet? You guys who are at home, you can too if you want. We're going to worship one last time before we go. I do want to remind you that we have a digital connection card that's going to show up online right now. You guys who are here in person can find that in the True Life app. We'd love it if you'd let us know what you're believing God for in 2021 so that we can pray and agree with you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus today, or you've got questions about participating in a small group, our semester's coming up in February, or leading a small group, let us know on that digital connection card. If you've got questions about how to get involved here or become a member, let us know on that connection card. It really is a great way to communicate with us, and we will respond back to you. All right? Love you guys. God bless you. Come on, let's give Jesus our very best praise this morning before we go. Come on, give me your very best.